I was privileged this week to, was asked to preach at a funeral. I established a relationship with the local funeral director over time here, or Rabbits, and told him that I would be available if there's those that do not have a church or pastor, and he said, well, that's the case more and more. There's many that die and suddenly realize that they need a pastor, but they don't need a pastor while they're alive. So I count that a privilege, and it was an experience that was different, not knowing anyone and not knowing anything about the lives of those that it was a husband and wife. I'm not sure why, but they had the memorial service together, and husband had passed away a year or so before that. Opportunity to preach and share the good news. I want to this morning talk about the refiner's fire and just a few things that happen. Grace, it's good to see you here. Your face is healing, and the way the Lord worked in your life. And Katharina, it's good to see her here as well. And Riley and Katharina and Judah, after a week of illness and being in the hospital, I discovered that Riley had to sleep out in the car with Judah. And I was struggling a bit with that. And well, Katharina's in the hospital, Riley's sleeping outside in the car with a three-month-old baby, and I was thinking who I need to talk to and to change this. And after they got home, the next night he was privileged to stay in. But the point I want to make, and I told Riley, I said, through that experience, the whole hospital knows about Riley and Judah and how they responded to a test like that touched the whole hospital. And while many times in our lives when we are going through circumstances that are difficult and hard, many times we're praying and asking God to change the circumstances and we miss the very purpose of God working in our lives, and God is at work, and He allows tests and trials to come into our lives for His glory. And one has described wisdom this way, that wisdom is seeing life from God's perspective. I want you to think about that a little bit. When you go through circumstances in life, many times we are tempted to think of better ways to live and a more pleasurable experience and the hardships being taken away. But when we walk close to God, we can see life as we're living it and our circumstances as God sees them. And that's wisdom, when you can really see God working and seeing life that you're living from God's perspective, because it's different many times. So I have a piece of silver along, and we're going to look at the Bible text that describes Jesus as a refiner of silver. Now this is a 1 ounce silver coin, and it's fine silver. So I'm amazed at the precious metals, gold and silver, and how they're taken out of the ground, and they drill and they search and they find this silver came out of a mine somewhere in a rough piece, and it was taken through the purifying fires where they take the silver and put it through the fire, and all the dross is removed. And now it is shaped into a coin, and it is fine silver, which means there's no dross. It's very valuable. And there was a process involved to get this silver out of the ground and take it through the fire and all of that. And in the Bible, many times people would exchange silver and gold coins for forms of payment. We don't know that anymore. We use dollars and paper money, but this was a form of payment referred to in the Bible, silver and gold. In Malachi, I want to use a few verses as a text, and then we want to build upon that. And I want to point out to all of us that we are in the refining process as Christians, every one of us, because this is how Jesus is described in Malachi 3. It says in verse 1, "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he come. He shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like a fuller's soap. He shall sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness." So there we see the Lord Jesus described as a refiner of silver. This process that we see happening today, still today, there's gold and silver mined and refined. And there were a group of people that were studying the Bible and the book of Malachi, and they came to this text, and one of them in the group said they want to arrange a visit to a silversmith and see how the process works, not knowing at all anything of the Bible study. She arranged a visit and watched the metal being refined. And as he took the silver and placed it into the hottest part of the fire, and she watched this process, and the silversmith couldn't keep his eyes off of the silver, the metal, because it needed to be at the right heat, the hottest heat, and just for the right amount of time until the dross was all removed. And she asked him how he knows when the silver is pure. And he said, "When I can see my reflection in the metal." And she went home and she read this text with a new understanding. That is Jesus, and that is how Jesus is working. We are as silver being refined so that we are pure and holy and fit for the Master's use. And God is working in our lives in the same way. So when we see examples of tests and trials, experiences in our lives, when we can see that and understand that God does allow, Jesus brings the heat at times into our lives for a very purpose. And what is happening in our lives is very, very important. All of us are, when we respond in the right way to these tests and trials and things that seem formed against us, they're for us. And God is really doing a work in our lives through some of the most difficult experiences that we can go through. Fire in the Bible, and as we experience fire, has good and bad uses. As a boy, I experienced a barn fire, something I will never forget, being the one who discovered the barn's on fire. And they running in to tell my dad, and the excitement that night, calling the fire company and getting things out, getting all the cows out of the barn except one calf. All night long, just watching them fight the fire, and the barn burned down to nothing. A whole cutting of hay was lost. Just destructive uses of fire. Some good uses of fire. We have a coal stove in our house, and I'm looking forward to the winter. We have the coal bin full, and you light that fire, and it's a contained fire. It brings heat to the house. We use ovens and stoves to heat certain things and prepare meals. Some time ago, someone gave us a casserole with instructions, clear instructions, to bake the casserole at 350 degrees for 45 minutes. Not too hot and not too long, so that that casserole will be just perfect. And that's what we did, and that casserole was very good. And I think that's a picture and a window into God working in our lives when we're taken through the fire or taken through the difficult experiences that sometimes we cannot explain. Peter says, "Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice in so much that you are sharing in the sufferings of Jesus Christ." Remember that verse, the time in my life and going through a trial, coming to that verse and never forgetting that verse where things are happening in your life that we cannot explain and we cannot really share to other people. And maybe it's something that you are struggling with, and it's a fiery trial. Something strange is happening. But when you see the Lord Jesus Christ as a refiner of silver, it's an analogy of us as silver being tried and tested and taken into the hottest part of the fire. It doesn't feel good, and it will be an experience where we all want to get out. But when we understand that this is God working, and this is how God refines us, and this is how God gets rid of the dross and the areas of our life that He is not pleased with, we allow God to take us through. And we rejoice in the fact that we are sharing in Christ's sufferings. That's what Peter said, and he understood it more than any of us. He was crucified by request upside down because he didn't feel he was worthy to die like Jesus. He wanted to be on the cross upside down. That's how Peter died. And he wrote he could identify with the greatest of tests, I believe, that any of us have ever went through. So in Malachi, we have a prophecy of the coming of Jesus. The first coming and the second coming are together in this text here. And it is none other than Jesus. The first coming, John the Baptist, is described here as preparing the way. And he came, that great preacher, and he preached repentance, and he preached, and he called people to get ready for the coming Messiah. And the way to get ready for the coming Messiah was what? Repent. Turn from your sinful ways. That was the message John preached. And he baptized those that repented in the Jordan River, preparing them to meet the Lord Jesus Christ, the refiner and purifier of silver. And then we also have a prophecy here of His second coming, when He comes again. It says who will be able to stand in that day. So He's coming in a similar way as a refiner. He's going to separate. We're going to look at some of the Bible texts that we can see. His second coming will be different than His first coming. He's going to bring a division between the righteous and the unrighteous. There will be a line. And God will separate the sheep from the goats. And God will clearly show the world who His children are, I believe. And it will be likened to a refining time. Look at many scriptures as how He will work with the nation of Israel again. And refine them. Bring them through the fire. A one-third. And Zechariah talks about that happening when Jesus appears again to His people. But I want to focus on the baptism of fire and the refining fires that the Lord Jesus brings into our own lives, and encourage us to be faithful through it all, and just to see this product, this end product, fine silver, valuable silver, It is 0.999% pure. So it has been through the process, and it is a picture of what God is doing, getting His bride ready for that great day. He loves the church so much. We're considered as the bride of Christ. And He's preparing us for the great wedding day when Jesus will appear and bring His church home. And there will be this great marriage, this marriage supper of the Lamb, where we're ushered into glory and we're finally with Jesus forever. And you can just only imagine what that experience will be like. When you attend weddings, you get a picture of the beauty of the bride and the bridegroom committing themselves to each other and to the Lord, and the love that they have for each other, and the great experience of Father walking the bride down the aisle, and just the beauty of that experience is just a picture of what it'll be like when Jesus comes back for His bride. But He's getting us ready. He wants to present to Himself a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. And so that's what is happening in our lives now when we allow God to work. And yes, the Lord does love us, even in the fires. Let's go to Luke chapter 12, where we see the baptism of fire. John the Baptist said that he is going to baptize with water under repentance, but there's coming one. Jesus will come after him, mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. And he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. So he is talking about a refining fire and the baptism of fire. So John said that Jesus will come and he will baptize with the Spirit and he will baptize with fire. Now there's different interpretations for what the baptism of fire might mean, but I think it is simply the refining fire that we are all experiencing, and it's referred to as a baptism of fire that Jesus brings upon everyone. So in Luke chapter 12, verse 49, it says this: Jesus says, "I am come to send fire on the earth." Here again, we have the picture of fire. "And what will I, if it is already What will I, if it be already kindled? But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened until it be accomplished? Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on the earth, I tell you nay, but rather divisions. For from henceforth there shall be five in one house, divided three against two, and two against three. The father shall be divided against the son, and the son against the father, and the mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother, and the mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law." Now, that doesn't look and sound like a good experience. What Jesus is saying, "I'm coming to send fire." I believe this is the baptism of fire. He's sending fire. He's not coming to bring peace, but rather division. What did he mean? Is the church divided? No. He will divide between the godly and the ungodly. And I believe this is the experience that happens now already, when some come and accept the Lord as their Savior, and they face a lot of rejection, and they face a lot of currents against them because of their decision for Christ. And that, I believe, is what Jesus said will happen to some who come to the Lord and make decisions that have come under the Lordship of Christ. And the fire is aimed at the body of sin and the devil and the world, and there will be this separation that happens when we are called out from the world and called out from a life of sin and called out from sinful living into the family of God. There will be some difficulties that we may face. Standing up for God and standing up for what is right and standing up for truth and godliness is not always easy, and it is not always peaceful. That's what Jesus is saying here. I'm coming to baptize with the baptism of fire. So, let's be encouraged as we follow the Lord and as we face possibly some of this. Let's be encouraged to stand up for truth. And we are not to fit into the world, and we are not to fit in with ungodly living, and we're not to fit in, but rather be called out and allow the purifying fires to rid us of the dross and sinful living that goes along with the world and those that are not right with God. So this is a baptism of fire that Jesus talks about bringing division. Not in the church, not in families. God wants families to be together, but it happens sometimes. There's stories of those in another religion that come to Christ and they're rejected. There's a story of a Muslim I know that came to Christ and they were seeking to put him to death. And so for some, it really does mean death. If you're found out to be a believer in Jesus Christ, it will mean sudden death and sure death. There are some that face that. That's what Jesus is saying here. There will be some that face very difficult decisions in life. There will be some that are caught in lukewarmness and sinful living that I believe friendships can be severed and new friendships formed. The fires and the baptismal fires of Jesus will bring a separation, not from the people of God, but from sinful living. That's the work of God, and that's what Jesus will do. He's referred to as a refiner of silver. And he wants to take the silver through the fires to get rid of the dross and the things that maybe sometimes good things that Jesus asked us to give up. In Matthew 20, Jesus asked his disciples if they are able to drink from the cup that he drinks from and to be baptized with the baptism that he is baptized with. And Peter, we know there, he stood up and he said, I'll go with you wherever. I'm ready to do everything. He spoke too quick. And Peter was one like that. We all can have times like that where he faced the tests at first and he failed. Instead of identifying with Christ during his crucifixion, he was warming himself by the fire. And I think we can do the same sometimes, wanting out of the fires and wanting out of the difficulties and wanting out of the struggles. That Jesus went into the garden and he was talking about the cup and he prayed to the Father. He said three times, can this cup be passed away and removed from me? He was struggling with the cup of suffering. He was struggling with the agony. He was struggling with his calling. Jesus himself identified with a great intense struggle, greater than I believe anyone ever did in the garden, so much that he sweat great drops of blood. And he came to the Father, can this cup be removed? And then he surrendered, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And I think we can identify as well with the struggle at times with the cup, whatever it is we're asked to endure. And Jesus told his disciples that you will drink from the cup and that you will be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. Every one of Jesus' disciples died a martyr's death. People say, it says in the Bible, take up your sword, buy an extra sword, and I always say, which one of the disciples used their swords? All of them died a martyr's death, willingly died for the Lord. They took the cup, and they suffered intense pain, and they went through it all for the glory of God, and they were faithful through the refining fires. Hebrews 5:8 says, Jesus learned obedience by the things that he suffered. And Psalm 34:19 says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of all of them. So many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers out of all of them, helps us through the refining fires. Jesus does not apply the fires without a reason and a purpose. As I mentioned, someone gave us a casserole and told us to put it in the oven for 45 minutes, just the right time. And I think a picture there of Jesus taking us through. He knows and understands our needs better than we do. And he knows and understands what we can endure. And so I want to share a couple verses. If you want to turn to 1 Peter 1, 6-9 here to see a powerful truth in that Jesus knows what we need and takes us through the fire just the right temperature and the right length to accomplish the purpose that he intends for us. In 1 Peter 1, verse 6, it says, wherein ye greatly rejoice, backing up to our lively hope and our glorious, incorruptible inheritance. It's reserved for us. We're kept by the power of God. Wherein, verse 6, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptation. I want to stop there. And if you want to underline something in your Bible in this verse, I would ask you to underline, if need be. Three words. Because I think we all struggle to understand some of the tests we face. We all struggle with some of the fires we're asked to go through. We all struggle with understanding what God is doing. And it says here, we greatly rejoice in the fact that we have a glorious inheritance. Folks, when we die in Christ, we're going to heaven. It's reserved for us. We have an inheritance in Christ. If we're being purified and if we're going through the fires, we have a wonderful ending. And we're going to see this. Wherein we greatly rejoice in this fact. Let's claim this prize and let's live in the reality of this. We have a lively hope. We know that it's true. I hope we all can say that we know it's there. But now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptation. So there's the point that I want to emphasize, is that if you're in heaviness through manifold temptation, there is a need in your life. God doesn't just bring these fiery trials to us without a purpose. He sets the temperature, and just like the silversmith puts this silver into the fire just to the hottest part or just to the right place and the right length of time till the dross is removed, but then he takes it out or the metal would be destroyed. So there is a carefulness applied to the refining of silver, and that is a picture of Jesus Christ working in our lives. He places us into the fire to the right temperature for the right length of time. And then when the work is done, there's dross being removed. There is a work happening in our hearts. God is working. And he takes it out and you get this refining work in our hearts. I believe that's what Peter is saying here. We rejoice in this fact that we're going to heaven as Christians. We know it's there for us, but now we may be, for a season and for a short time. One of the things I said at the funeral, life is short, eternity is long. There's two ways to die. We can die in Christ or we can die in sin. And the results are totally different. But the trial of your faith, verse 7, says it's more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So it says, in this verse, Peter says, just think about the refining process of silver and gold, and the trying of your faith is more precious, more valuable. Things are happening in your life much more valuable. When you get to heaven and you meet Jesus, you will look back at all of these fires and all of these tests and all of these trials, and you will rejoice and praise God throughout all eternity. That's what he's saying. And when I look at it that way, we can go through the tests and we can go through the fires knowing that God is working a great work. The trying and testing of your faith is very precious. And God is very careful. He knows what we can take. So he takes us right into the fires to the point that we can take it. And then he removes us. And many times we cannot see it. We're not aware of it. But Jesus begins to see his reflection. Jesus begins to see his face shining. Jesus begins to see the image of God, which was the purpose of salvation before the foundation of the world, that we would be conformed into his very image. That's God's plan. And there's no other way to do it other than the refining fires. So let's be encouraged together. Let's support each other. Let's let this work happen. And I know it's hard. There's been times in my life, like all of us, I wanted out of the fires. I wanted an easier life. And I still do want an easier life. I don't want to go deeper, but sometimes God asks you to go deeper. Because it's not always comfortable. The sermon last week, or the last sermon, are we going to seek to be comfortable or are we going to seek to be conformable? Being conformed into the image of Christ is what God wants. He doesn't always care about our comforts. He doesn't always care about some of the difficulties because he sees this product. This is what he's after. The pure, refined silver. Romans 8, 28 and 29 says, all things work together for good to them that love God. God pre-planned to have his children conformed into the image of his son, and he does this through the refining fires. We could also look at many scriptures where we have reprobate silver. In Jeremiah, maybe I'll turn to this, where we see a picture of reprobate silver. Jeremiah 6, 29 and 30. Says this, the bellows are burned, the lead is consumed of the fire, the founder melteth in vain, for the wicked are not plucked away. Reprobate silver shall men call them, because the Lord hath rejected them. So that's a picture of those that refuse and reject the refining fires. And they rather choose to go on just living sinful lives, rather than allowing the Lord to work. Job's wife tempted Job with this. Job was one that went through the fires. And I'm amazed at Job's faith. Everything he lost, first his possessions, then his family, and everything one at a time. And all that was going on is God was bragging on the life of Job to the devil. Job had no idea what was going on in the spiritual realm, but God was bragging on Job. Job has a faith. Job is so true in his faith. And Satan said, yeah, it's because you gave him all this. Take it away. And God said, go ahead. He took away the hedge and left Satan move in. And Job was tested and tried. And then God took away another hedge, and Job stayed faithful. And God took away another hedge, but he just had boundaries set. We see a picture of the sovereignty of God. And finally, Job's wife said to him, curse God and die. So that is a temptation, a real temptation that Job faced. Get out of the fire and quit serving God, because this is happening in your life. Praise the Lord, Job did not. He stayed true in his faith. And I want to encourage everyone in closing to consider your life, whatever you're going through. Let's be the true and tried silver that we see Jesus Christ as a refiner of silver working in our lives. When things go against us, James says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations and all different times of tests and trials. Count it all joy, because patience is coming. God is working patience in your life. Peter says, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice in as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Rejoice again. Count it all joy and rejoice. 2 Timothy 2:19 to 22 says there are vessels of silver and gold unto honor, and there's vessels of wood and earth unto dishonor. We're called there to be departing from iniquity so that we can be vessels of honor before the Lord. So in closing, I want to encourage everyone in your faith. I want to encourage you in your walk with the Lord. I want you to think deeply and understand the powerful analogy that Malachi said, that Jesus Christ is a refiner of silver. And he's working, he's going to come again as a refiner, and he's going to work to refine and to bring a separation from the world and sin and the devil and the pure gold and silver and God's children. And we all want to be in God's side. We all want to be identified with Jesus Christ. We all want to be shining with a reflection of Jesus Christ in our lives. I know we're not perfect, and I know we haven't arrived, and none of us are there yet, but let's allow God to do his work. He will be faithful. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the text we looked at in the Bible and the writings of Malachi, the writings of Jesus and the words of Jesus as well, that he's coming to baptize with fire. I pray that we all could look at this and welcome it and see your hand, your sovereign hand at work, doing a great and a mighty work that the world can see, that God's name can be glorified in our lives and strengthen our faith. I thank you for the way that you have protected Grace and bring healing. I thank you for Katharina and the healing that she has experienced. I pray for Judah as he awaits surgery. Others that are experiencing setbacks and difficulties in life, just strengthen our faith together and help us to rise triumphantly in our walk with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.